Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This program is for Saturday, September the 5th, 2015, as we take a look at the direct experience. I get a lot of questions about how to enact this spiritual practice, how to make it authentic and real. So we're going to take a little look at this. I chose three beautiful questions from listeners. I don't know where any of these people live. They don't tell me, but that's fine. What I enjoy is that they have questions, and it's insightful questions. I want to remind you that these programs, these satsangs, these radio programs are available to you only because of the kind and loving generosity of sponsors who have made them possible along with our TV programs. It is through your monthly or quarterly contributions that this occurs, and I hope that some of you who are listening to these programs, watching our TV programs, will make contributions in order to help us sustain our program. Our mystery donor paid for the entire year, June, and I hope that you will help him and others. He will match your sponsorship should you become a sponsor, monthly or quarterly. You can be one as low as $25 a month or $50 a quarter. That's $200 a year. I am sure you will find that you have, wasted money more, wasted that amount more than you might imagine on frivolous things when you could be doing something that serves humankind. And our sponsor will match it. Our year-end gifts are being matched, and all of these will go to support this radio program and our TV programs. So I hope you will help. Let's get to the first question. What do you teach to build faith in people? I never hear you talk about it. You're not the most inspirational speaker I've ever heard, Ryan. Ryan, I'm not here to jack you up, okay? I'm not here to make you believe in Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, or the Easter Bunny. Although all three of them are something that millennials think are essential to their lives. I don't know how old you are, but if you're in that category where you were born in the 70s or the 80s, then you're one of the ones that believes in childhood should last forever. I am not here to manipulate you. Anyone who is inspiring you is manipulating you. And to manipulate you is an ugly thing. It has to be what I call the direct experience that moves you, that brings you to the quality of your life, the quality of your consciousness. You ask me, what do you teach to build faith? I'm not here to build your faith. Faith is not something that anyone can inspire you to build. You may believe that. That may be your consequence to the way you have lived through your emotionality, but it is not the truth of your life, nor does it have anything to do with the meaning of your life. Our lives are based on things that are far greater than the emotionality of being inspired by, shall we say, another person's experience. What I offer are teachings, Ryan, that give you the direct experience where you don't need my word or anyone else's word for what exists within you or what the reality of your life is. This is really important. If you're dependent upon a public speaker, a minister, a teacher to inspire you, to give you the faith that you don't naturally have within you, then my goodness, what does any of this truly mean? What are we talking about here? What do you need to make this thing, you know, real for you? You want me to give you promises and tell you that if you do this and you don't do that, that if you ask this question and don't ask that question, if you believe in this and you don't believe in that, that you're going to be a better person, that you're going to find meaning in your life, that you're going to find direction. Well, what are you exactly asking me? I'm always accused of not being inspiring. But if you look at the teachings of the Buddha, you look at the teachings of Jesus, the Beatitudes especially, you look at the works of Lao Tzu in the Tao Te Ching, who wrote beautiful and deep work, you will find that inspiration comes in different forms. And if it's the form of promising you how to get a certain thing that you deem very important, then you're going to miss. I don't dangle carrots before people's noses and say, if you bite on this carrot, if you bite on this thing, good things are going to happen to you. I never do that. So, Ryan, what I am after is the direct experience. I want my students, I want people who can hear my voice and hear what I'm really teaching to be inspired by what lives within them. They must find that on their own. They have to find that beauty on their own. And how do you do that? Well, of course, you know what I'm going to say. You're going to have to first meditate. You're going to have that willingness and that ability to hear what the human ear cannot hear, to practice what human emotionality cannot practice. You're going to have to be able to be touched by things that the ego is never touched by, cannot recognize, does not find inspirational. What does the ego find inspirational, really? If you really look at it, all it can be inspired by is what it believes in and what it thinks promises it a better experience, something that will give it pleasure over pain. That would be a big one. A feeling, an exertion of power, that you have power over your situations and control over your situations, which none of us do. But we want to believe it happens. We want to believe that's true because it suits our purposes. It suits our needs. So this can just go on and on and on to nauseam. And that's what people want. I don't offer that. I'm sorry, I don't. I probably never will. I am more interested in the person who is looking for love in all the right places within. That love is more powerful than fear and hate. And to get to that place, a person has to have that direct experience within them where they are recognizing that which lives within them is far more interesting than, well, a person might imagine, in the sense that they have to be told, if you do this, this will happen. If you don't do that, that will happen. That's just manipulation and it's ugly. And that's how people get what they want. They like to get what they want through being frightened. Fear is very important to the average person. You must understand that. Fear and hate are essential to being motivated. If I motivate you through emotionality, I'm going to have to motivate you over duality. I'm going to have to motivate you through, if you do this, you get that. Fear and hate will be involved. What kind of teacher would I be if I did that? But I can't just sit here and talk to you either, because you can't hear my voice. I have to be selling something to most of you that promises you a better life than the one you have right now. That's the whole idea. You're living wrong. I know how to live right. You want this. I can show you how to get that. Really? That's how immature we are? And isn't that the basis for all sorts of ugly things in our culture, in our world, in our society? Isn't that just the way it typically is with the world? And you want me to do that to you? Well, that's not something I can do. It's not something that works for me. It's a very difficult thing for me to say that to you because I know exactly what people want. I mean, every speaker does. We're not idiots. We know what motivates you. Greed, fear, anger, hatred. We know all that. Really, we do. And we know that you feel insecure about your life. So it's easy to sell you on something that isn't really good for you. I'm not of that ilk. It's the direct experience, Ryan. That's what I teach. It's the ultimate faith. And once you know it within you, you'll never be the same again. You will never fall for the ridiculous ideas and ideals that most people fall for. Just give it a whirl. Think about it a little bit. Don't be manipulated. Don't be pedestrian in your mentality. Let love flourish in you. Let it live you. Please forgive me. Namaste. People, oh boy. All right, here's the next one from Ken. And I don't know where he lives either. What can I do when I see that I'm in a rut? My life is in a rut. I need more, but I don't know what more is. Ken. Ken, we all live in a rut when we are living to provide our emotionality with some kind of gratuitous results. When I am living for the idea of gratification and not the insight that comes with even being mortified by the way I live my life, by seeing how cruel and ambitious and unkind I can be. Ambitious people really bestow a tremendous poison in life and among the society and the culture, but people like that ambition. People like that kind of thing. They really get into it. And I can't change that in a human being. I can't do that. I can't look at you and say, don't be motivated by your greed and your anger. You, like everyone else, needs that direct experience. And what do I mean? Where you have the experience that what lives within you is stronger than what you believe lives within you. Let me give you an example. To understand that love is more powerful than hate, what does that mean? It means I'm going to have to eventually in my life give up all of the ideals and ideas of what it means to be gratified through self-righteousness, vengeance, and pride. Those three things, self-righteousness, vengeance, and pride. Now, when I'm willing to no longer gratify my human for the sake of the divine that lives within me, that is when something of the other shore begins to show up in our life, begins to flourish within our life. A certain beauty, a certain essence begins to flower within us. And we begin to see the meaning of our existence past what it is that we think helps us live that pleasurable life that we all want. The life where we eat, drink, and be merry all the time. That's what people want. But I am telling you that that is a very dangerous thing. That premise is very dangerous. And when I live in that premise, when I cultivate it through desire, ambition, and pride, that is when I think that emotionality and the gratification that I derive out of it serves me well, but it doesn't. Now, I'm going to say something quite controversial and something that most people don't want to hear, but I want you to listen. Every time I get what I want, I weaken my resolve for love. I weaken my inner core. Every time I say, this is what I want, and I'm going after it, and I'm going to get it through this and this and this, I weaken my ability to know love. There are a million zillion reasons why you would look at that statement and go, this man is absolutely nuts. But I may be nuts, but on this is true. My students don't know this. Only students who have quit and gone off on their own to find out that what I'm saying is true understand. But by then, their pride has them and they can't come back because they have so much pride and fear and hate in them. We make mistakes, all of us. Mistakes are prevalent in many different ways. To be ashamed of our mistakes is foolish. To be prideful of our mistakes is foolish. To keep living in our mistakes is even more foolish. When you can see that your life is in a rut, that is the chance for you to do something out of the box. To do something brilliant. To do something loving. To do something very kind. And what would that look like? Well, that's up to you. That's your direct experience. That's something you have to derive out of your own direct experience. And once you understand that direct experience, once you get the awakening of that direct experience, you will start to understand what meaning is. People don't want meaning in their life. They want gratification. They want proof. Now, if I do this, will I get that? If I do that, will I get this? People want gratification for everything they do. And they never question it. The pedestrian mentality never questions its desires, its ambitions, its hates, and its fears. Never questions it. Never seeks to go beyond it. Just keeps the ball rolling in hate and fear. And because we choose to live in such a manner, we destroy the meaning of our existence and our whole life. It's just the way we are. So what can I say to you? How can I help you? I offer you an alternative to conventional thinking and belief. So when you see that your life is in a rut and you need more, it's the more that counts. You need consciousness. You need the more of awakening. You need the more of being, the more of your heart, your soul. You need the more that comes from recognition of kindness and love. You need forgiveness. You need to let go. There must be that let go of everything that has kept you where you are, needing more or wanting more. And as long as I continue to live in this fashion, in this way, I reduce my ability to know consciousness. That's why I say, get everything you want, fulfill your deepest desires, ambition, and pride, and look what happens to you. You will want more and more and more and more and more. It is human nature. And the ego loves the more thing. So it keeps building it and building it and building it until nothing. Until we don't have any way to look at our life from any other premise than fear and hate. Now, I've been a teacher way too long in this world, 40-some years I've been doing this, and I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that people aren't interested in what will bring love into their life. They're interested in being love. They want other people to bring love into their life, and they're willing to make it kind of a business deal. You give me affection, I give you affection. You give me what I call love, I give you what you call love. And that's as far as it ever goes. Sad to say, truth be known. But this does not have to continue. If you have a sense of your heart and your soul, if you have a sense of love and utter kindness, things can change. And if those things change, if you allow for those things to change, then something of the heart can render itself in your life. Something of the goodness of your life can be bestowed upon you. Something other than what you believe can happen. And if you're in that genre of person, if you're willing of that genre of person, if you're willing to understand the nature of all of that, much will happen. Ken, pull your head out of your desires. There is a great mystery surrounding us all. This is such an interesting life. It is filled with so many things that can enhance and enrich our ability to let love live us. That's what it's all about. Without question, to let love live me. Thank you for your beautiful question, Ken, and thank you for your little side comments about the program. I deeply appreciate it. I hope you'll become a sponsor. Please forgive me. Namaste. People are takers. They take. Never think about what they can give. They only think about what they could take. And when they think about what they can give, they only think about what they can afford to give. And I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about in every aspect of their life. Can you give your unconscionable kindness, forgiveness to people? It's the mark of living well. Last one comes from Frank. Oh, I'm fully into what you told me many years ago. I am finding it all to be true, and I rejected it then, but I can't reject it now. Now what do? I need help. And I can't come back. Sad to say, too much pride, Frank. Frank, you join a lot of illustrious former students of mine. I remember you. And you still haven't learned. You're just getting the whip to the, maybe to the skin. Maybe not to the marrow of the bone. I don't know. Buddha talked about the three racehorses, the worst being the one that needs the whip to the marrow of the bone, the second one, the whip to the skin, but the greatest, greatest racehorse is the one that needs merely the shadow of the whip. And of course, to me, I'd take it further. The horse that doesn't need a whip at all is the greatest one, but we won't be fighting with Buddha today. So here we are. I told you years ago, I told you how it would all turn out. 25 years ago, now you're finding it to be true. The jug, as Buddha said, fills drop by drop. Little things make our karma, little things make our life. What can I say to you? You still haven't learned. There's still so much for you to learn. There's still so much for you to experience. People don't want to be told they're wrong. People don't want to be told that they're on the wrong path or they're doing something terribly self-destructive. They don't want to hear that at all. They only want to hear that things are good, that they're doing good, that they're right, and yada, yada. How do you tell people, look, if you go too far over here, you're going to fall off this cliff. If you go too far over there, you're going to fall off on that cliff. What you have to do is learn to walk the middle ground in the middle way. How do you tell people that? How do you say it to them where they don't get insulted? It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. There are landmines with everyone. And no one wants to hear that they're full of crap. No one wants to hear that, but most of us are. We're full of crap, and we just don't want to hear it. We don't want to see it. We don't want to admit it. We just want a hall pass. And most people that listen to this radio program or watch my TV programs or whatever want a hall pass. How do I get around being such a jerk? And maybe I can be a jerk and still get the things I want. And that's what people like to believe. It's not possible. And I'm telling you this out of my own direct experience. It's not possible. So what would you do? What can you do? You're going to have to humble yourself. Bodhidharma said it is impossible that one out of a million people become enlightened without a teacher. Now, Bodhidharma lived thousands of years ago. So when he said one out of a million, he was saying, in essence, no one becomes enlightened because the word million was just too big a word, too unfathomable to really think about. You have to understand how people talked and lived and thought in metaphor in those days. All teachers do this. You're going to need a teacher. I was your teacher. I know who you are. I know the way you are. You are always welcome back, but you won't be able to because your ego is still so much intact. And now your ego is telling you what a jerk you've been. Before it was telling you what a wonderful person you were. Now it's telling you you're a jerk. It's the same nickel, just the other side. The bull or the Indian? Which one do you want? Right now, I think you're into the Indian because you've seen the bull. But it doesn't matter. It's still a nickel. And I can't con you, teach you, share with you, reason with you, or any other thing to make you understand that you need to return. You won't do it. So anyway, I hope you enjoy this radio program and whatever it is that's going to be the rest of your life. Frank, it was an honor. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I might be of service to you in, right here, you will see at the top of the page, contact. Just click on it. Send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. I want to thank my three beautiful questioners. I want to thank my sponsors, my mystery donor, for making all this possible. And I hope you will make a year-end contribution and join our cause to keep these programs on the air. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.